Hello there. So for this episode of Enough, we wanted to try something a little bit different. You might not know, but the 70 Decibels Network has a feed called Off the Record, in which we will maybe just talk a little bit before the shows or after the shows, me and the hosts, and just sort of speak our mind. But recently I've been recording some of these conversations and putting them out into the Off the Record feed. And we don't heavily publicise it because it's sort of unedited in its entirety, so sometimes some curse words do slip through. But it is there, and so we want you to know about it. This show was recorded as part of the Off the Record, but as you'll hear throughout the discussion of the episode, me and Patrick decided that we'd actually put it out as a show itself because we had quite a detailed conversation that really should have been shared with all of our audience, not just a select few that listen to Off the Record. So if you enjoy it and enjoy some of the free-flowing conversation that does happen throughout the episode, make sure you subscribe to the Off the Record and there'll be a show-nated link for you so you can do that. I hope you enjoy this episode. Cheers.
So, every time I'm about to launch into a story, I'm like, we should record this. We should do it, like, at the very least, do an off the record with it or whatever. But
that's already recorded.
Oh, okay. Terrific. So, one of my favorite Spanish stories. First of all, I love Spain. Absolutely love Spain. It's my, it's just one of my favorite places on the planet. Barcelona especially.
I've been to Barcelona once.
Oh gosh, I love Barcelona. I mean that's Bethany and mine's escape plan. Should things here in America really go south, like for instance after this next November election, we're going to just sell all of our houses and move to Barcelona.
In the plural.
Yes, in the plural. And so
stock too.
Yeah. But one of my favorite stories, and I think this was in Ashley, Seville. We went to Spain for our honeymoon, and mm-hmm. we traveled all around the country. We started off. We actually flew into Madrid, but immediately got into the airport, booked a flight to Barcelona, and started off in Barcelona, and then went to Seville and Ronda and Granada and Madrid. in that order. Just really, really wonderful. And so we're in Sevilla, it was right after what lunchtime commonly was there. We were getting pretty hungry. We're in the main square and we were kind of looking around at the various little restaurants and cafe. Saw a place that was Casa de Pain, House of Bread. And so we're like, great. They look like they have great sandwiches, wonderful soups, and, refreshing drinks. I mean, this is just perfect, just what we wanted for lunch. Save some room for some tapas later. Tapas are another very interesting story, very interesting history behind them, but I'll get to that in a second. And so we sit down. Waitress comes over. Now, I should tell you, I didn't know any Spanish whatsoever before going to Spain. I knew common, English / Spanish words, like burrito. Right.
Yeah.
I knew how to say gracias. That was about it. Right. Yeah. So, but when we were over there, Bethany ended up coming down with bronchitis and losing her voice. And Bethany, took 4 years of high school Spanish. So she, certainly not fluent, but she was who was kind of getting us around. So when she lost her voice, I had to really quick try to pick up Spanish. And I'd been doing an okay job until then. So we sit down. The waitress comes over and, says in Spanish, can I take your order? And I said, sure, I'll have a jamón y queso, in my – I'll have a queso only, cheese sandwich, ham and cheese for me and, a couple of soups and some drinks. And the waitress just kind of stared at me blankly and said, what, you know, in Spanish, what translated to, and which I heard initially is, I'm sorry, we're out of bread. And I looked at Bethany across the table. I was sure I couldn't possibly, I must have not understood this, or that my Spanish was poor. I wasn't getting this, but, you know, and the waitress said it again. And I said to Bethany, I said, did she say what I think she just said? Bethany is like chuckling. And I'm like, did she say they have no bread? And Bethany, like, you know, shook her head. Yes. We were just like, we just started bursting out laughing because what was the irony of a place called Casa de Pan with no pan?
It's like, we have no house today and we have no bread. You have to sit outside and eat soup. Thank you.
I mean, what's really great, and the lesson here learned, is if you have a business and that business is named, let's just say, Boxes Unlimited, the one thing you should ensure at all costs, and should just plain close your doors if it ever happens, is that you never run out of boxes. Because your name says Boxes Unlimited, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so if you're ever going to have a business, a restaurant named House of Bread, there's one thing you should never, ever, ever, ever run out of.
And if you do,
close the doors.
Close.
There's no point in staying open. I don't care what else you might have to sell at that point. Close the doors. Because if your name of the place is House of Bread, people are coming for the bread. So do you know the history of tapas, my friend?
I do not know the history of tapas, but I'm going to take a guess, okay? And this is completely pulling this out of my brain. So what I know about tapas is it's tiny meals, right? So my imagination is telling me that there was some sort of maybe farm workers in Spain, and they would each prepare a tiny meal at home, so they didn't have to worry about making a full lunch. And then they would all sit down together at their lunchtime on the farm during their backbreaking labor working for the man or something. And then they would all open up their tiny parcels of food and they would share.
Aww.
That is my... And then you're probably going to tell me it's something to do with the Spanish Inquisition or something like that.
No. But and your story is really lovely. I almost don't want to destroy it for you.
I give you permission to do that.
All right. So here's the reason why I think everyone should visit Granada in Spain. If you're going to go to Spain, make sure you stop in Granada. Not the least of which is for the Alhambra, which is this beautiful, Moorish, basically castle that is intricately detailed. It is a wonderful example of Muslim architecture and craftsmanship and art, but I digress. So Granada. Granada still maintains the tradition and the history of tapas. And that is this. At one time, Spain had a really, really, really bad fly problem. There were literally there were flies everywhere. I mean, there was this huge fly infestation. And part of the problem with going to your local bar was flies were really attracted to the sugar in the beer.
Mm-hmm.
And so what some of these bars began to do, and it caught on, was they would take a plate and put on that plate a small portion of food and then serve the beer with that plate on top, so that as you drank your beer, you would remove the plate and the flies would be attracted to the food and not the beer. So you remove the plate, take a sip, put the plate back on. The flies would stay on the small plate of food. You would be able to enjoy your beer. That's the history of tapas.
So it's nothing to do with the food. It's all just to distract the flies from what's really important.
Yes. Yes, exactly. There's lots of metaphors there, too, about life, right?
Yeah.
The food, obviously, on the plate was free. It wasn't meant to be had to eat. It was meant to distract the flies. You wouldn't want to eat this food because it'd be covered with flies. And they just served it part of the price of the beer. Well, at many establishments, tapas establishments in Granada,
mm-hmm.
they still maintain this tradition. And so you can go and get completely full on some of the best food that you could have for the price of the beer. One place in particular, which was just about two blocks away from the hotel we stayed at, which also was very cool because the lady behind the desk in the morning time at this hotel, I can't remember the name of the hotel, I'm sorry, was from Iowa. She went to the University of Iowa, and she met her husband, who was Spanish, as a student, foreign student who was studying abroad in Iowa. And they fell in love, got married, and she traveled back to Spain. But, it's just really great to run into, this American there. But right around the corner, there was this place called El Matador that was just fantastic. They literally, you'd get like a cheeseburger on top of your beer. I mean, on a small plate on top of this very large beer that you'd get for €2, you would get this huge cheeseburger. Or, nice little Spanish chorizo sausages. These little ham sandwiches that were really great. And seriously, you could have a nice filling round of tapas for two or three beers. And, of course, then you have to drink the two or three beers. But I can think of worse things to do when you're on vacation in Granada.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Granada, very cheap Spanish vacation to be had there, at least from a food eating perspective. But the gypsies in Granada are ruthless in the pickpocket department.
Okay. thank you, tour guide Pat.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Can I share something that's completely unrelated that's annoying me?
Yeah, sure. Go right ahead.
For some reason, Twitterific on the Mac keeps asking me to authenticate with Twitter.
Really?
Like, multiple times a day. And if I dismiss it, it does absolutely nothing. Like, it doesn't harm me in any way. Oh, wait, hang on, we got an update here. In the Mac App Store, bug fixes.
Mm-hmm.
So it tells me it's going to fix bugs.
But, we like bugs.
Did you
we
see,
like fixing bugs.
Exactly. Did you see that tweet that I posted today?
Which one?
I posted an image of a screenshot of an app update.
Oh, yes. I did see that.
How unfortunate is this? I'm going to read it out for anybody that missed it. So this is the app update for day one, which is a journaling app that we spoke about. Big, big letters with stars around at the top of the update screen. Please don't install this update. There may be some unexpected issues with iCloud Sync. We are submitting a new version tomorrow. If your entry count zeroed out, the next update will restore your data. Please
oh my
don't
God,
worry.
That's frightening.
I apologize for the inconvenience. Like, I usually hit the update all button. Very pleased I didn't that time.
Wow.
I mean, there's nothing worse than that, really, is there? Like, your journaling app deleting everything.
Gosh, I know it happens.
And I had a guy... send me a tweet. Hang on, I want to grab his name in case he's listening to this. Oh man, there's so many out replies these days. I want to check this. I don't want to say it and then not find it.
Yeah, understood.
Sean Pierce, the guy's name. And his reply to me was, especially after fighting with it for 2 hours last night, not knowing this.
Oh, man.
So the guy must journal with it all the time, opened it up to enable the iCloud sync, and then seen...
All of his stuff
go
poof.
All of his stuff go. Just gone. I mean, I'm not being funny, but... Look, no disrespect, because I don't do this stuff, but if it's a bug that is pretty much universal, I guess, can't you find that in testing? Don't you have beta testers who look at this stuff?
Yeah, you generally do.
I guess it's possible to miss some things, but this seems pretty critical, unless it is only a small amount of people that it actually is hit.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right, is that this could be, for all we know, this could be one of those things that really only affects one or two people. And it's entirely possible that you could have 150 beta testers, and I know this, having done quality assurance for a Macintosh software company and run the beta team, being the beta team coordinator and the one who coordinated all of this testing and all of this bug, all the bug reports, and did all of the kind of interpersonal email communication with the team and stuff like that. I can tell you for a fact that you can have, I mean, we had a 300 person team for one of our products and missed a very critical data loss sort of bug.
Right. Okay.
Just simply because it didn't happen every one in 300. It happened in 1 in 30,000, right? You know, yeah. And if you have 3 million people using your product, that's a significant, you know, that's 1,000. I mean, you know, that's what, am I doing the math? Right. But basically that's 1,000 people that will experience the bug. You get what I'm saying, right? It's all a matter of scale.
I mean, I'm being unfair, I think, because I'm a user, you know, so I'm just, as a lot of users will, and we just expect pure quality 100% of the time, right?
Yeah, I don't. Yes, while I think that we oftentimes expect that, the reality is that this stuff is designed by humans, and humans make mistakes, and this stuff is tested by humans, and that people are going to miss certain things.
You know what they could do, though? You know what there's something that they could do about this to stop this happening, but they won't do it, and I think that's what maybe annoys me about this. I know that it's not necessarily 100% their fault. They can't remove that update, right? There's nothing they can do.
Right.
To just take that one update away. But what they can do is pull the app from sale.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they could pull the app from sale, and that will stop that update from showing because the app won't be in the store. And I think it was Dew that did this a little while ago. They had a problem like... No, Verbs. The IM application Verbs.
They had an update
that just hosed the app. Completely hosed the app for a few days. So they pulled it from sale. So, because, you know, as I probably would agree, like, if something is unusable, you don't want to be selling it. But the thing is, I would assume from that, either the guys at Day One either don't know that, which I will give them the benefit of the doubt for that, or they don't want to stop that sale for a couple of days. And they would be happy selling a broken application. I don't know, maybe I'm just going off on an unnecessary rant.
No. I don't think it's unnecessary at all. I think it's important for people to hear, you know, I agree with you that there are other ways that there are many ways one could go about handling this, right? In this old company, there was a product that we introduced that was rushed through, was introduced way too fast, was full of bugs and gotchas and problems, and really never should have hit the door. But and unfortunately, I mean, even to the point where my coworker and I in QA we threatened not to release, you know, we were the ones who actually built the installer and uploaded the product and released it. And we basically put our foot down and said, no, not until we figure out how we're going to handle fixing this, you know, sort of thing. But in the old days, software didn't get released when it was quote unquote ready. All right. Because in the world of publishing and marketing and advertising and such, you know, to have, you know, to advertise your product in the big trade magazines, whether it be MacAddict or MacWorld or MacTech or, you know, any of those, or to, you know, get reviews in those magazines so that those were ready to go by the time your product was ready to hit the market and such.
Or even having the physical part of it started, right? So like the making of the boxes and the manuals and the discs.
Exactly. Exactly. All of that stuff had to happen months before actual release. Right. And about the latest you could possibly wait, especially on the case wrap stuff, was up to about 2 months before you needed it on a shelf somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which meant that if you had already made those commitments to deliver months in advance, as you did, if you had already bought those spots to advertise and had the graphic design put in place or whatever, that stuff was all said and done and ready to roll in, you know, 2-3 months, and you had no choice but to release. I mean, you had no choice, because the only other choice was you were going to spend all this money and there wouldn't be a product there for people to buy, and you would have an even worse problem on your hands, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So this product for its time was extremely ambitious, and let me tell you essentially what it was. It was called Rewind. It was Time Machine for Mac OS 9. Everything that Time Machine is essentially the major feature of Rewind, but done years and years and years before. And the reason why I think it took so long for Apple to Sherlock that was that it's a really complicated thing to be able to do. To be able to roll back selective parts of a system from some backup, and from some database, right? And that's what Rewind did. So what Rewind would do, and this was amazing technology for Mac OS 9 when you think about it. This is, you know, 10 years ago now. Or longer, even. No, that's about right, I guess. And so basically, it would section off a portion of your hard drive. So it would do this all on the same drive. And you would say, okay, I want to be able to go back, let's just say, 2 weeks. And then it would portion out unused space and allocate unused space on your hard drive for those 2 weeks. You know, for enough to contain the data to go back for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would store all of this data in this kind of hidden, encrypted database in that area. Not too different from the way Time Machine works. And if you had a problem where you accidentally deleted something you shouldn't have, or a file became corrupted, or you installed some extension that made your machine effed up, such, you could just simply fire up Rewind and roll back. It even included a feature that now exists in Lion, which was a recovery disk feature, mainly a rescue disk is what we called it. We called it the Rewind rescue disk, where it would basically create another little, at the time, 100 meg, 200 meg partition, and allow you to not only would it have a copy of Rewind by default, but if it found any other known recovery tools like Disk Warrior or Tech Tool or any of those, it would find those and copy those onto that partition too. And you could mount it and throw whatever other little utilities you felt useful in there. So that, and of course it had a stripped down, clean, bootable copy of the system. So that if you ran into a problem, you could boot up off of this little rescue disk and run Rewind, roll things back, or run any of your recovery tools and troubleshoot the problem or whatnot, right? Both things that Apple now has in their flagship shipping product, right?
Yeah.
So for the time, it was super ambitious, but oh my gosh.
Maybe too ambitious, right? That sounds like it would just murder the computer.
It really did. We didn't realize how quickly, because of the amount of reading and writing that it was doing, how quickly it would basically burn a hard drive out. How it could completely corrupt data under many circumstances to the point of making, basically taking all of your data and corrupting it all on the hard drive and making it unusable. I mean, serious bugs were found out. And this was found out after the disks started being pressed and put into boxes.
Right.
In other words, if you would have gone to the store and got a copy of Rewind on the day it was released and took it home and installed it without our doing something, there's a very likely chance that it would have destroyed your data. So what we ended up having to do was basically put a build. What we ended up doing, or the way that they got us to actually sign off on shipping this thing, was they did build in a update backdoor should we find any problems, any serious problems that we couldn't correct before shipping but needed to correct later, which we knew we were going to, and which we were still experiencing, but we had to ship this thing. So that when people got home and they put the disk in, when the installer ran, the very first thing it did before installing anything was download the updated version that was, you know, that we had worked on over the other 2 months. It would download that and then install, right? Which, once again, that whole thing was completely ahead of its time. So much of this was just really far ahead of its time, and but the problem with being too ambitious, you know, the taller the mountain, the harder the fall, right? You know, yeah. The higher the climb, the harder the fall, and that's, you know, certainly was the case here. And so I'm only saying that, giving you that long, drawn-out story to say that there are many pressures that may decide what ends up shipping and what ends up not shipping, and that there are many bugs that one doesn't catch until after those decisions are made. And then once they're out there, there are many other reasons why you may not be able to pull it back, right? But let's just say that certainly when you do make these choices, you risk frightening and alienating and otherwise, you know, shooing off not only your existing customers who, you know, now you have at least by appearances made their data disappear. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why I don't use Evernote. And I've discussed that at length.
Round free.
But I mean, it was a similar situation and it was not Evernote's fault, but as a user, I couldn't possibly know that, right? Mm-hmm. All I knew was at that point where I saw it happen, I could no longer trust the product, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this guy who you know, are these people who experienced this bug with this product, you know, this journaling product. This is a journal. You're putting personal stuff in there, stuff that you're hoping to hold on to and that will outlast you. So that, you know, I mean, that's the whole point of a journal, you know, right? I mean, that's a, not the whole point, but that's certainly a big part of it is that, you know, you want to, you know, record your experiences and record your life so that you either, A, you can look back on it years down the road and go, oh, wow, yes, I remember that, or so that your children can and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, right? And so the data, the stuff is everything. And if you don't trust it, if you can't trust it, then are you going to use it? And, I mean, that's the problem here, right, is that, you know, something like that. If I was using a journaling application and suddenly some bug made all of the data appear to disappear, I doubt I would ever use it again. I don't care if it was, oh, this is a bug and we caught it and we fixed it. They'd have to do a whole lot to win back my trust.
Yeah, even if I get it all back, it's still a bit like, well, now every time you update or like somebody breathes too heavily in day one headquarters, am I going to lose all my data? Like,
right, exactly. You know,
and it isn't right. Just, it's not a simple note. This isn't just a bunch of crap that I'm chucking in there. This is personal things.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Isn't just a bunch of... You know, like randomly tagged text documents telling me, like, just the dates and times that people were confirming to do the Golden Headphones Awards. Like, it's not, do you know what I mean? It's.
You're right. Yeah. And, well, and that's exactly it, right? Is that, I mean, it's that level of trust sort of thing that you have to have, you know? And am I incorrect in remembering that Day One does, like, photos and such like that now, too?
Not yet.
That's coming.
It's coming.
Yeah.
I hoped it would be in this release. So before, couple of things. So one, great that we do have the Off the Record now, because that's a half an hour that
terrific
that people will get, I guess.
Oh, we can't ship this. We can't make this an episode two.
We can.
Why not? I mean, give people a taste of what Off the Record is like.
What a great idea. That's a great idea. I'm going to do that.
Right. I mean, because no one really knows about Off the Record. You don't necessarily advertise it.
The point.
Yeah, I know.
But it will be fun to let people know so then they can make the choices, right?
Right.
So I will record a little intro.
So we could say, yeah, that this is an episode of Enough, but it's also what we would have recorded for an Off the Record and what you would have heard, and that we talk about a lot of things that aren't necessarily on topic. But okay, go ahead. Were saying?
Well, I was then just going to talk about the planning for today's recording. So
I think
at this point we wrap this episode up now. Because this is now an episode.
Right, but the planning is part of the Off the Record too, isn't
it? Okay, well then I'll keep going. So I was thinking today to record so how long do you have now?
Oh, I don't know.
Because we are scheduled to record
again. My time is not my own. We're scheduled to record again next week?
Yep. So now we only need to do one other today.
Oh, okay.
Because we can do more if you want to do more, but because we only need to do the two to fill up till Tuesday and then do a four episode recording next week.
Okay. All right. I mean, we have plenty of choices. I know we got the one request from a listener about wanting us to continue on with our home screen series.
That's going to be one of my recommendations.
And of course, I didn't have time to clean up, so I feel really bad.
Well,
No. I don't need to clean up. Okay. That's the whole point, right? Is that I shouldn't like. Because if I like clean up, just like, oh, it's like, you know, if you just come over to my house and it's a mess. You know, and it's always that way, then you really get a sense of who I am and, you know, what mm-hmm. my life is really like, what my house really looks like, you know. But, you know, but if I clean up and make it all pretty and dust and whatever, you know, you're going to know I did that for you, you know. I don't know. It just seems fake to me. So here we go. Yeah, I'm just going to do it because I'm not happy with my second screen right now. And so that can be part of it. We can discuss why I'm not happy with it.
Okay, yeah, so I'd like to do that instead of the episode.
Okay.
because we're now releasing this as this off the record, okay. I think I caught one profanity from you right at the start, which I'm going to take out just right at the very start. Like, you didn't even know we was recording.
Oh, wow. Really? God.
Do you want this to go out as the next episode, episode 101?
Do I let the Effensheimer slip that easily?
It was an S word.
Oh, was it?
Mm-hmm.
God.
So that's not too bad. So are we going to release this as the next episode?
So sure, why not?
101. Okay.
Why not? I mean, people just got to listen to, you know, an hour and 45 minutes of blah, blah, blah.
That was good, I think. But what I was going to ask is, when you listen back to this episode, can you just also keep your ear out for profanities from either of us?
Yes.
So I usually write them down. You see, I usually timestamp them
when they're
happening. But I don't be concerned with that sort of stuff.
All right. Okay. I'll take a listen.
Also, I have a plan for a future episode.
Okay.
I'd like to have Brad Dowdy on.
Yes.
To talk about paper and pens.
Yes. Yes.
We do that at some point in
Can we do that next? Can we do that now? I want to do it right now.
I don't think he's around.
I'm in a very paper and pen mood.
Yes. I got my first care package from him today.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you got a care package.
I did.
Oh. So the buttering up you're doing on Twitter is working. Apparently.
Of course it is. I like receiving things in the post. I think one of the best things I ever received was from a listener, Lars, and he sent me packets and packets and packets of Big Red chewing gum because I can't get it here, and I love it. And it's very expensive for me to buy. And he DM'd Terry and asked for my shipping address, and just I randomly opened a package one day and just loads of packets of Big Red fell out. And it was months ago, and I still got some left. It's great.
Awesome.
I like receiving things. Receiving things is nice.
All right, noted.
So I figure we could do the home screen today. I will make a note to book that.
Okay.
The golden headphones is coming on well.
Okay.
I have one thing I want to ask from you. There are a couple of awards that aren't user nominated because they were, for example, people had suggested them.
Okay.
So there are some where it's clear to me who the winner can be of certain things, or it's, you know, or I've made a decision.
Okay.
Now, there was a suggestion for the Barest Air. I wondered if maybe you wanted to think of who to award
Well, that's got to be Terry, right?
Yeah, most probably. I mean, it's up to you.
Well, that was before Cliff was supposed to be on the show today, and I think he would have given Terry kind of a little bit of a run for his money.
That's a shame.
Because he's been doing my 5-app challenge or whatever.
Oh,
whatever
really?
MacGuffin
Maybe have a look through, if you'd like to.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I'll have a look
through. And send me... who you'd like to win. And
all right. Just put down Terry for now, because as I remember, Terry's was the Barest.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure of that. I'm almost positive of that.
All right, I'll put that in the show there. And what's pretty cool is there's a couple of awards that have been given to people that aren't on the network, so they won't be on the show with us. So I sent out a couple of requests to have... speeches. They're recording some speeches for me.
Oh, very cool.
So, you know, like, such and such person couldn't be with us tonight, but we were able to get a hold of them, and they had this to say, and I'll throw to... It's going to be good fun. I've got a bunch of sound effects that I've downloaded, applause noises and all sorts.
That's great. I'm so looking forward to it. It sounds like so much fun.
And what will be good for you guys is, obviously, you won't hear any of that bit. Like,
right.
All you will get during the recording is... us talking and me giving out the awards, and then I'm going to put it together. There's going to be clips, so like the best moments. So there's a bunch of best moments of the year, and I'm going to be stitching in clips of those into the nomination. But it's going to be really good. It's going to be really good. It's going to be a lot of work, but I'm really looking forward to putting it together.
I would say that episode 100 was probably good proving ground for you.
Yeah.
Would you say that for the kind of pushing the limits of your editing and such, and so, and preparing you for something like this, like the Golden Headphone Award?
Oh, definitely. Show? And as well, I mean, that and 11 minutes, like 11 minutes sort of primed me anyway, just because of the amount of work that takes, but like putting in sound effects and all sorts of stuff is good. So what I'm trying to do at the moment, though, is find some adequate music for the show, like, to start. You know, I'm looking for something big and awardsy. So if anybody has anything that they found or made or want to donate or suggest, then hit me up on the contact page at 70decibels.com/contact with a link or details about. Basically, I'm looking for something that's like orchestral and awardsy, like Oscars type music.
Oh, okay.
There is even a rumor that Sammy may make an appearance.
Ooh, okay.
In this show. So I'm looking for it to be a bit just mad. Coming to you live from somewhere.
It's the Golden Headphone Award.
It's the first annual. I'm really looking forward to this. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be great.
From the legendary Grauman Chinese Theater in Hollywood, California.
And here's your host.
And here's your host, Michael Hurley.
You might have to do the...
I could totally do it. You know me.
Okay. Just but it's going to be really good fun. Really good fun. I'm looking forward to getting that recorded. Right, yeah. Shall we get into a recording of our show then?
All right, that sounds great. Hold on.
What would you like to name that off the record episode? I can't hear you at the moment, by the way. I don't know if you're being quiet.
Yeah, I'm being quiet. I'm thinking.
You're thinking.
I'm thinking. You didn't hear... What you should have heard was the sound of the steam.
No, I didn't. I heard a slight
hiss. The hamster's turning in the cage. The hamster's going around the wheel. That's what you should...
Scarily quiet.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't want to scare you. Okay. I don't know. I think we should just call that one just off the record, connect it to. And I'll put in the show notes, I'll say, okay, here's the deal. Here's these off the record ones that, you know, weren't heavily audited, but, you know, Mike oftentimes records the conversations that happen in between and before podcasts, blah, blah, blah. And I'll explain the whole thing and set it up. So we're just going to call that off the record. Enough off the record or something like that. I mean, episode, enough episode, whatever, off the record.
Sweet.
Okay. All right. Let me see. QuickTime player. And there's 100. Let me close that. Let me open a new audio recording and I am ready.
I'm going to send you a link to the off the record subscribe page with my terrible URL structure that I need to look at one day. Because of the way that I sort of shoehorned the podcasting network into a Squarespace. Like, you can see that's a blog post, right?
Right,
it's got the date and stuff in it. But that's actually just the URL for the feeds.
Oh, is it?
Page.
Okay.
It's very
interesting.
Peculiar. But that's the only place on the site that's that off the record that exists.
Okay, noted. Okay.
I love that new logo, by the way.
Yeah, I do too.
You snuck that one off of me.
Well, dude, let me tell you, just real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I shot Aaron a DM Sunday night.
Right.
And the DM said, hold on, thought design exercise. How would you redo the Enough podcast logo if Minimal Mac did not exist but my Enough book did? And the following morning, I mean, like when I woke up, this DM was waiting for me. It would probably look something like this. And he shot me the first design, which didn't have, it just was a square, the white square with Enough in gray in the bottom right hand corner, like it is now. And I said, perhaps it would be something, perhaps it would have something to denote it. To denote it was a podcast, i.e. to stand apart from yet augment the book. But I like the direction. And he said, why would it need that? They'll be seeing it in the podcast store, right? But they also might be seeing it as something to subscribe to on a book page or in a footer. Hey, if you enjoyed the book, there's a free podcast you subscribe to. Extend the conversation, da-da. And fair point. And he wrote back, fair point, better option. And then he sent the one that you saw there.
Now, I know what you were just about to say about you're not so sure because it's very hard to see the microphone.
It's very hard to see
that. But the more I looked at it, the more I like it, because originally I thought it was just a white square. And then when I saw the microphone, I was like, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Because it's difficult to see. I think that that actually makes it more exciting.
Well, it almost like begins to come into focus, right?
Yeah, like, this is
it,
what I like.
Like, you don't see it at first, and then when you do, it comes into focus, and then you can't unsee it.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
That's exactly, yeah. And that's what I like about it. My only issue at the moment is I can't find how to get Instacast to automatically update it.
Yeah.
The artwork. You have to unsubscribe and resubscribe in Instacast.
Yeah.
But iTunes has done it fine.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure either. I had that same problem with Instacast. I mean, so when I first like downloaded Instacast, remember when Instacast HD for the iPad first came out, and I said, oh, are the show notes just showing up for you, Mike? Because they're not for me. Dot dot dot. Or no, is the artwork showing up for you? Because
yeah, you didn't see it, did you, at all for a while?
Yeah, no, I didn't right away. So. Here, I've just opened up Instacast HD, and I'm going to see if the artwork changes on me.
Because when I resubscribed, it changed it over fine. I mean, I've also changed the name.
Okay, all right.
I've just changed it to Enough, the podcast. That's how it shows up in iTunes now as well. I really wanted to have it just say Enough, like it does on the website, but it won't be searchable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Noted. All right. We got to start recording, my friend.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. We're going to do so this is going to be our second page of home
screen. Second home screen, page. Yeah. I've got lots of folders, so I'll summarize.
Okay. Terrific. All right. 3, 2, 1.